All right. Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for joining us. We're here now for our Sunday gathering, and our minister, Reverend Jay McCormick, is here. So I'm turning the room over to Barb Dewater as admin and turning the mic over to you, Jay McCormick, as our minister.
Thank you, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody this wonderful Sunday at our gathering here at Awakening Together? The title of the gathering today is Keys to Spiritual Growth, a really good review of some basic practices that we can all have and do and stick to as we practice our own individual spirituality as we see guided. I'd like to welcome everyone here. Just take a few minutes to introduce ourselves, to say hi, and let each other know how we're doing. Maybe if some new folks are here, where you're from. And I'll turn the song, mic over to Lynn. She'll play a song for a few minutes as we introduce ourselves. Giving the mic to you, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. And yeah, a special prayer and blessing go out to Ron in a difficult time he's going through right now. Let's just make sure we have a loving thought for him as he's going through what he's going through. The statement of purpose of Awakening Together is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, cultures, and symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to pick the third core value to speak of today, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So to answer the question on the board earlier, do we still have separate cells? Well, I believe we are letting those go to answer that question. So the announcements for today, we have a few announcements today. We got a really awesome satsang tonight at 8 p.m. This is Eastern Time. And Scott Killeby will be joining us from the Killeby Center. Now, like Dietrich Wolsock, Scott is a teacher of spiritual awakening whose primary focus is overcoming addiction of various sorts by realizing truth. So Scott's method of teaching is called living inquiry, which is an inquiry that looks at whatever addictive urges you have and inquires into them with wisdom so that you can dissolve those addictive thoughts and urges in the light of truth. And he's at www.killeby.com. So join us tonight for a really practical and profound teaching that's going to help you overcome any habit that you feel stuck in while pointing still in the direction of truth. So join us there at 8 p.m. Eastern. It'll be Central, 7 p.m. And next Sunday, Awakening Together is introducing the new series in the sanctuary. And this is starting next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Awakening Together will offer the guest teacher mini-series. Guest teachers will come into the sanctuary for 3 to 12 weeks in a row to teach a mini-series on awakening. Our first guest will be Martha Creek, a certified facilitator of Byron Katie's The Work. Martha will be with us for 4 Sundays in a row, March 6th through the 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So that is really exciting. This is the new mini-series on Sunday nights. So we've got a lot going on Sunday nights. And the third announcement is to support these teachers that come into the sanctuary to offer the miniseries. We're opening up a new donation called Support the Miniseries. Now, this donation will be available on the website under the Donate menu. When you donate to this fund, 100% of the donations, minus the PayPal fee, will go directly to that current miniseries teacher. And Awakening Together will not be keeping any of those funds. So the suggested donation is $2 to $12 per week whenever you do attend. And so like for a four-week miniseries, the suggested donation is $8 to $40 depending on your call to give. And you will also find a link in the special for this special donation fund on the announcements regarding the miniseries, and the link will be shared in the sanctuary during the miniseries teaching. So there's a lot of changes in Awakening Together, and all, I think, wonderful changes for the better, and so some exciting new developments. So turning the mic back over to you, Lynn, for our song before we have our prayer. Actually, we already did do that, didn't we? There is no song as of now. I had this wrong in my syllabus. Let me reorganize that. The invocation prayer is what's up next. Yeah, and just to respond is Regina will be creating those pages, so you'll see those soon. So join me now in the invocation prayer as we begin. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the presence in which I live, and every part of myself is within God. I know that my heart will be released in spirit through grace, unless I want to block love and thus imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release in my heart and in the sight of all brothers and sisters, because I recognize that we will only be released together, united as one. In this spirit, I choose to see me being within you and all brothers within you too. I thus see no separation between God and me, and in whom all I see. In this I know I am healed. Amen. And one of the big tenets and important aspects of all spiritual growth is trust in the Creator. And there's kind of a funny story called The Rabbi and the Train that I would like Joanne Schneider to read. She will be our reader for today, and it's a short little story. And this is the first time that Joanne has been here at a gathering, so let's all welcome Joanne here. So turning the mic over to you, Joanne.
I suppose you can hear me. Good morning, you all. So, the rabbi and the train. It was an insufferable hot day in the Odessa train station. An old rabbi patiently stood in a long queue to buy a ticket for a train trip. As he waited, one of his students happened by. "Where are you going, Rabbi?" the student asked. "To Kiev," the rabbi answered. Hoping to save the rabbi from waiting in the sun, the student offered to take the rabbi's place in line while the rabbi took a seat in the much cooler and more hospitable waiting room. The rabbi accepted this kindness with gratitude. When the student, after almost an hour, finally reached the ticket window, he bought a ticket to Kiev and then went looking for his teacher. He handed the ticket to the old man, who thanked him and moved to board the train. The student stopped him. "Excuse me, Rabbi, but I paid for the ticket." "Yes," the rabbi replied, "thank you very much." Thinking that the old man misunderstood his intentions, the student now made it perfectly clear. "Rabbi, as you know, I am very poor. I was hoping that you would reimburse me for the ticket." "But," the rabbi replied, "I don't have any money." The student was shocked. "You were standing in line to buy a ticket to Kiev and you didn't have any money to buy one?" The rabbi nodded as though this was the most natural thing in the world. "I needed to go to Kiev, but I didn't have any money. So standing in the line is the action I took. Then, thank God, God sent you to buy it for me." "But now I don't have any money for the ticket," lamented the student, obviously very worried. "Well," said the rabbi, "let me suggest that you get in line." And with that, he turned and moved toward the train.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. I love that story. You know, it's interesting. You could say, "Oh, well, that rabbi just screwed that kid over." Or you could look at it from the perspective of, you know, that rabbi was really practicing trust. And thank you very much, Joanne. That was wonderful. I'm glad you read that. I have a story to share too. When I went to go see the Dalai Lama here in Chicago, I did something very similar where I went to the event knowing that the tickets were all sold out. But I stood in line at this far gate into Millennium Park here in Chicago and just waited expectantly, believing all the while that if I was meant to be in there seeing the Dalai Lama with the friends that I had in there, I wanted to go unite with them, that I would be provided a ticket. And in about 10 minutes, it was a very thick crowd, a guy had brushed right in front of me and some other people, turned to the left, looked at me and said, "Hey, do you want a ticket?" The person I was going with didn't show up and handed it to me out of about probably 30 or 40 other people crowded right around me waiting. And they all looked at me like, "How come you get to go in?" And so I got in, and it was just pure faith that I practiced getting into the Dalai Lama, and it was really cool. I have my own personal example of a version of that story, I guess. But that's actually going to be the fourth key to spiritual growth that we'll cover. We'll get to that one in just a minute. The very first key I want to talk about that is so important to all spiritual growth is knowing that every day is an opportunity for transformation. Every single day is like a living being, an opportunity for us to connect with someone who is in our path, who is effectively their own universe, their own entire consciousness, you know, that we can approach with great mystery. Because when we approach life with habitual expectations, We are either satisfied if they meet our expectations conditionally, or we are upset because they did not meet our expectations. Specifically with people, either people we don't know or people we do know, not acting in ways we think they should act, or saying the things that we think they should say. So if we have that open mind and recognition that every single day when I get up is a whole new beginning, I can be completely free from the past today, and this is a completely new opportunity. Even if 99% of things I do turn out, I'm just operating from habit, there's that 1% where there's an opportunity where I can be different. I can let go of the old. And if we cultivate this tremendous sense of responsibility and care with our day, and many of the people here I know do that and practice that in their life, to wake up every day with a sense of care as to what is going to come next and what can I do to serve, what can I do to help. There's amazing people here in Awakening Together, some of the most amazing people I've ever met, and dedicated. And that ensures that we'll be in the right spot, in the right space for the wisdom that this day may bring. You know, am I going to fill this day with my own negativity, with my own selfishness, with my own darkness? You know, in the teachings of the Kabbalah, there's a lot of teaching about revealing the light. Revealing the light. Opening my heart so that the light of the Creator can come through me and extend to my brother. I receive with the purpose of sharing. In the Course in Miracles, it teaches the most important thing is to extend love. Extend. The nature of God's love is to extend. Never to be kept for self alone. The second key is listening to what Michael Berg calls hearing the voice from above, which is a specific term they have for it. But think of it like every day the Creator is going to shine the light onto us. And we can receive that light and that wisdom and that guidance like a beacon. So it gives us this no-strings-attached gift, this wonderful, open gift of guidance that we can receive every single day. We must receive guidance every day. This is how we grow spiritually, because by our own guidance alone of the ego mind, all we will do is try to guide ourselves towards our physical goals, to get a physical result, whether that be in a relationship or in some task we're completing. So it's so important for us to, yes, do the best we can, given the tasks that are before us. But that voice that comes from within, so it's every day. We have this opportunity for transformation, and the best way to accomplish that is to listen to that inner voice. And it's just such a basic tenet, such a basic practice. How much do we really do that? Maybe it's time to check back in to say, how much do we really listen to that inner voice? I know some of you have made a very productive habit of listening to the inner voice every single day. But maybe some need a reminder, too. And it's important for this. It's so important. This beacon is what guides us. This understanding comes from the Creator. All of the true guidance and wisdom comes from the Creator. It is not from our selfish ego standpoint, for ourselves alone. This is a way to bring forth that light. Bring forth that light. Now, the next key to spiritual growth is a very important one. And it's understanding that we're all mirrors. We are all reflections for each other. Similar to what Byron Katie's The Work. You spot it, you got it. Take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of a brother's. You know, we always encounter negative events in our life and negative people. These things can upset us. They can sort of jar our consciousness. You know, whether it's something happens in the store, somebody cuts us off, somebody is hostile to us, someone doesn't follow through on something you want them to do. Someone overreacts to another person, or you overreact to another person. You know, we have a lot of inclination to judge these situations when they first come up, when we don't expect them. You know, this is suddenly throw your back out, or there's a health condition, they have a heart attack, or a kidney, or you actually fall and break a bone. When these sudden tragic things happen, you know, this is our first inclination is always towards this, you know, judgment, self-interest, you know, and trying to find fault. You know, it's seeing people that are upset, you know, and we look at these things as just unfortunate, right? Unfortunate coincidences. So this is just so sucky that this happened. This was just such an unfortunate coincidence in my life. But, you know, on the one sense, if you're focused on spiritual growth, if you have a spiritual mindset of any kind, and not only the Kabbalah, but many teachings teach this, that really there's nothing that is a coincidence. These negative events, these mirrors that show up in our life, they have a purpose. There's a reason that they're in our life. You know, there's something that we are as being reflected back to us. There is absolutely something that's being reflected back to us. Whatever this signifies, it's a indication, a sign to give attention for our spiritual work. What's coming up through this seeming negative experience is not there for us to pass judgment, but it's a signal, a purposeful signal sent to us by the Creator. We're not a victim. So this can help us to reevaluate the path we're on in our growth, in our spiritual growth. What do we need to focus on right now? What is coming up to be purified for right now? This isn't random, these things happening. This is an element of something in our spiritual growth that we need to face. That we need to face. And if I have that attitude for me, what it helps me to do is to just go with the flow. And to hold no expectations and to just be present. You know, the Muslims have a saying, Inshallah, or God willing. If God willing, I will be able to accomplish this. God willing, this will occur. I hold open the possibility of the endeavors that I'm engaged in and the task that I'm on may not go the way I think it will. Or my interaction with this person may not go. I only do what I feel guided to do, but then I remain open to responding to whatever is coming my way. And if it turns out that way, that's great. If not, then it's a lesson for me, and it is purposeful. So that's very important to remember. Number four, this is the fourth principle of spiritual growth, very important, and this is where the story of the rabbi and the train come in. This is trust in the Creator. You know, when we think of trust in every relationship, we realize that trust has to be earned, right? That trust has to be earned. You know, when you get to know someone, you slowly over time get to trust them, and if they do things that seem to be consistent, and they do what they say they're going to do, you tend to trust them. If they don't do what they say they're going to do, you tend to mistrust them. You know, and this is also tells us if another person has our best interest in heart, or if they're trying to act selfishly with us. And we think of the Creator. When would the Creator, of course, maybe when things go south, you know, and we have a negative experience, we may shake our fist at the Creator and, dang you, God, why did you put this in my life? You know, this is the point where we want to blame God, right? Blame the Creator. If we go back to the previous principle, nothing is happening by accident. Trusting in the Creator is more of a journey of my trust. My trust. Yes, to trust and rely upon Spirit totally. This isn't a blind faith. It arises from understanding all of the way the mind works, all the spiritual laws, and this certainty that comes inside of you. Do you know what I'm talking about? That feeling of certainty? If you don't have that, I would certainly wish it upon you. Because when you do trust the Creator, it fills your being with such a wonderful feeling of trust. And this is so important in spiritual growth, because you have to remain pliable to be open to what comes next. You have to remain pliable. You know, and it's good to just close your eyes and be in that feeling of trust. Forget about how you want things to turn out. Just let it go for a minute. And just be in that trust in the Creator. Don't think about the negative events that have occurred and blame God for them. Just be in that space of knowing that everything was put in your life for a reason. This isn't a random universe. Just go with it. Just trust. Let go. Michael, row your boat. And there's a beautiful word called Emunah, which is this trust. It is always for the best. And of course this is difficult, very, very difficult. And very few of us have actually reached this level of trust, of Emunah. But it is a level of spiritual development that we can all aspire to. Okay? This is a very worthy spiritual aspiration. To have undeniable trust in the Creator. And if you've consistently had difficulty trusting the Creator and thinking you got to do everything yourself, this is a very, very worthy spiritual aspiration for yourself. Spiritual aspirations and goals can have a great purpose for however long period of time that you need them. So it's a matter of transferring this reliance upon the I, the separate I, to be transferred over to the Creator. And this isn't something we can see, taste, touch. We can feel it sometimes. But it's an inner knowing. It's not a tangible thing. The God, show me a sign that I can trust you, is the ego separate mind wanting proof. Trust comes from letting go and extending trust. And realizing an assurance that this is happening for a reason. And the truth is that the deeper I trust in the Creator, the more true power I have. Weakness is relying purely on the separate thinking ego mind. True power is relying fully on the Creator. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit has the internet of the cosmos available to it, and all knowing. Why not plug into that? Why not have more power there? And let that come through you and reveal that light in me. That is true power. True power is trusting the Creator. And I'm not talking about just feeling like you've got a good intellectual concept of the situation. It's a habitual pattern of cultivated trust in your mind about becoming curious about, I wonder what this is trying to teach me. I am going to shift to an open mode here and not view this as a negative event that I'm going to blame God for. I'm going to go within. I'm going to surrender here, okay? I'm going to surrender. I'm going to trust. And of course, a good example of this is the Red Sea parting, Book of Exodus, and having that immense trust that miracles happen. But sometimes we got to walk into that sea, and maybe that sea still hasn't parted, and we got to throw our whole body in the sea and be ready to die drowning in that water, believing that it's going to part, all the way to we're ready to let go of our own body. And then maybe that's when the miracle occurs. That's when the trust happens. Because I don't believe that the Creator... I'm kind of anthropomorphizing the Creator here by saying this, or making the Creator into a person. If I say I don't think the Creator would want us, if we could take steps 1 through 10, why would the Creator want us to take steps 1 and 2 and then take over and finish the steps 3 through 10 through us? I think the Creator wants us to go as far as we possibly can in our own capability, and then that last bit is what's done by God when we're ready to surrender. You know, so it can seem counterintuitive taking these actions of trust that you're seemingly moving into oblivion, like Regina was describing an act of trust as she was operating off of her own funds, and the savings account was getting lower, and it's like she was walking into the Red Sea ready to just suicide into the Red Sea, and with trust. I mean, there's no, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You have to act on trust in a counterintuitive way and be willing to do that and face your own fears, and that what happened with Regina is proof that indeed it does work out when you act in trust and in faith. You have to be willing to let go of your fears. And then, at the last minute, when it seems lost, that's when it happens. That's when it happens. Look at Peace Pilgrim. When she was walking, she was guided under this bridge where there was a box after this freak snowstorm. And she was able to stay warm. And she was ready to just drop the body right there. Okay. Or Gandhi, some of the things he did out of faith and trust. Another principle of spiritual growth, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through all of these, but we'll try to get as far as we can. Asking for divine assistance. And this sort of tags on to the examples I was just using is, you know, sort of taking as many steps as you can before the Creator steps in to help. You know, open for me an opening no more than the eye of a needle, and I will open for you the supernal gates. Open for me an opening no more than the eye of a needle, and I will open for you supernal gates. And the truth is that when it gets so bad that, you know, as this movie being put up on the board, all is lost, that is when it happens. That is when. Because the truth of it is our mind is so stuck that it takes sometimes this extreme negative experience for us to finally actually create a genuine opening, just a little bit. The eye of a needle, it says. And then whoosh, it's in. And I think that's beautiful. It's certainly not fun, maybe when you're going through it, but amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I've had experiences like that too. Kind of like with when I went into the Dalai Lama. I went in with complete faith and just opened and surrendered. And it happened. It happened. I was handed a ticket. You know, and I guess it's up to us to determine what is it we need to do to go to the limits of our ability. You know, each one of us has, I guess, different willingnesses. And it's up to our own individual inner discernment to kind of get to that point. But it's not about giving half effort or half measure. It's about definitely giving full effort and full willingness. Another principle of and keys to spiritual growth is the realization that there is definitely a sort of testing action that's occurring with us. And this does occur as we move towards the light. It has a kind of way of avoiding you if you're not really trying to reveal more light. If you're just plodding along in your habitual routines, not really facing any of your fears, you'll be fine. You'll live a very humdrum life. You know, there's a lot of spiritual teachings that say if you're not going through some pretty intense stuff at times in terms of facing stuff that's coming up, you're not doing any real work. Because the truth is as we describe in Awakening Together a lot, the process of purification, more temptations come up as you reveal more light. More things are exposed to you as temptations that weren't there before. As you let go of your limitations, open to reveal more light of the Creator, and operate from more of that space, higher level sort of possible negative things occur. More Armageddon, seemingly increasing level of sort of testing or temptation or corruption, temptation to corrupt will seep in there. And this happens as, you know, like you look at the gurus that do move through their life and get close to enlightenment and don't make it. Maybe they fall prey to becoming a superstar and they kind of get off the path a little bit there. So there's an important realization to realize that as we approach the Creator, as we go to this grand palace, kind of like an example of approaching a palace, you have more and more guards and sort of more and more trained soldiers guarding until you finally get to the king. You know, it's kind of like as you get closer and closer to the Creator and letting go of that false self more and more and more, kind of like Buddha described as he was faced with lust, with anger, with violence, with all these big forces, and then finally his own identity, the identity of his body itself as a separate self falling away, and then the light shines. The light of the Creator shines. The light of the self, the Buddhists call it. And then there is no more struggle at that point. There is true awakening. But to get to that point, just as Buddha was tested, these tests do occur. And as you get closer, you will be tested. And some of the teachings of these Kabbalists say, well, they thirst for, they long for the test. Because once something comes back, and say you fail the test, it will come back again. Or even if you pass the test, there will be another test that comes up. And this helps us to eliminate the inner doubt that comes up. The inner doubt that arises that kind of takes us away from the surety that we have built through our trust in the Creator. And it's times when we face these deeper negative issues in ourselves that trust in the Creator is so, so critical. You know, we can berate ourselves for all kinds of things, you know. The truth is we can do nothing that would offend God. We can't change our own nature. You know, but right when we're ready to act upon something, there's a lot of doubts that can come up. Oh, you'll never do that. You can't overcome that habit. Oh, forget that. You'll always be like that. Once that way, screw it. You'll always be that way. These kind of voices that are in your head are the temptations. And they're going to be there in your little private mind trying to keep you from spiritual growth. So one of the keys to spiritual growth is to constantly realize that this force of testing is very much a reality. This will occur. This false self, which is always going to be negative in that sense, to provide doubt, is going to try to stop you from awakening. Now, the less energy you give it, and the more trust you have in the Creator, and the more genuine effort you put forth, and little openings of surrender you create, the more the Creator can come in to help. And that's when it feels like a burden is lifted. When a burden is lifted. You know, it's kind of like walking right up to the edge of the lake, you know, doubting if you're going to be able to stick your foot in there, or afraid of how cold it's going to be, and then you just jump in. And yes, it's very cold, but you're excited you're in there, that you finally jumped in. You know, there's always... I'd say doubt is probably the most spiritually destructive tendencies of human nature. it is absolutely the most destructive and insidious, that it will stop us from doing and making those openings and moves that are so, so important. Now, as we let go of our patterns, and another key is to have joy as we're letting go and transforming. You know, in joy I shall return. In joy I shall depart, and in joy I shall return, from the Bible. You know, when we have realized a pattern in ourself that is negative, and we have seen this pattern, and we've come to terms with, oh my gosh, I see this pattern now through this test, okay, that I just went through this experience that was not random at all. This happened for a very specific reason, for me to see something in myself that I am to spiritually work on right now. You know, is to have a true sense of, regret for having done it. Regret for having thought that way. Let it go. You know, have certainty. You know, out of this sort of remorse, have a sense of certainty. You know what? I'm not going to think like that anymore. I am certain that I would never choose to do that again. I'm going to never do that again. Have like a sense of certainty and determination. And you're going to have it anytime this happens and you come to realization of this pattern, you know as well as I do that it's going to come up again. The opportunity for that same potential negativity is going to come up again. Only this time, when you face that potential negativity, you're going to make a different choice. And when you're certain of yourself, you don't have doubt anymore. Because certainty is the enemy of doubt. Certainty is the enemy of doubt. The two cannot exist together. You know, and there's a story, this really funny story with this, I think that you'll enjoy. It's called Cleaning the Barn. Two boys worked for a scholar who they respected very much. Both were given the task of cleaning an old barn that was to become their employer's study. As you can imagine, the work of cleaning the barn was hard and dirty. The first boy was happy as he worked, whistling and singing as he accomplished his appointed tasks. The second boy did all the work just as faithfully as the first, but not with nearly as much enthusiasm. He knew somebody had to do the cleaning, he just wished it wasn't him. Finally, the second boy became fed up with the first boy's happiness. He stopped and asked, "Why are you so happy?" The first boy thought about it for a moment and then replied, "I'm happy because I know that when we're done, our employer will have a clean room for us to sit in." So there you go. There's the example. You know, we can have a sense of joy knowing that the muck we're sodding through right now is going to be over soon, because afterwards, you know what? I'm going to have a clean mind to live in. I'm going to have a clean space to exist in. And some of the other, I'm going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. Of course, never being satisfied, of being content with where we're at. If we've achieved some level of spiritual growth, we may be tempted to just say, you know what? That's it. I feel satisfied now. I feel comfortable with where I'm at. And you don't really face any new challenges, and you sort of become placated. And that's also one of the temptations. And that's a key to never let yourself be satisfied, because until the final awakening has occurred, there is still undoing work that needs to happen. So it takes that consistent dedication. Another one of the principles and practices of keys to spiritual growth is to really think of it as called walking like you're blind, like taking that great care in everything you're doing. That, because, you know, there's so many different traps along the way and so many different ways we can be pulled off, that great sense of care is so important. And the blind walk so deliberately with every step they take. They check every place they go. They're very deliberate and cautious, and they check, almost like with that walking stick, you're checking for guidance with every choice you make. If you feel so guided, you can also use your own mortality as a motivation. Like, oh my God, this body has 70, 80, 90, 100 years to live, and I gotta get moving here. I don't have time to waste. I've gotta be motivated here. You know, You know, my mother had a near-death experience, and I think that motivated her to enter on a very, very focused spiritual path, and it was the reason why I got introduced to the Course in Miracles when I was just a kid, and other spiritual work, too. So death can be a motivation for us. There's a sect within Buddhism that has these a room full of skulls to remind them of the mortality of the body to keep them motivated to stay focused on their practice, because the body just has a limited amount of time and you have to practice. You have to practice. There's no wasted time. And the second to last key and principle and law of spiritual growth is having a true sense of compassion. And this is described as experiencing the pain as our own. Like noticing the pain other people experience it as yours. You can't have anything separate from us. Think of Mother Teresa. We have to get our hands dirty. You know, what Mother Teresa did is she, like if a reporter would come to report on a area of famine in India she was serving, she would take one of the babies and put it in the reporter's hands. She didn't let people just be separate and aloof from the suffering they saw around themselves. You got to get into the muck. Be with. Don't be afraid of the pain. The reason we push suffering outside of ourselves is because we think it's going to hurt us. The truth is the Creator is beyond being offended or hurt. And the more light of the Creator we let through ourselves, the more beyond being hurt we are. And that's the truth. When I let this move through me, not with a sense of wanting to, like, join in the pain, but let it move through me, there's actually a profound healing effect that occurs. Because all pain is relieved in joining. The truth is that every bit of pain that's experienced in the world is because of separation. And every time I have a pain in my body, or an emotional pain, or any other kind of pain, I know and understand that it's because I'm facing separation. And it's not, I don't do that from a perspective of I'm guilty and it's my fault because I'm separate. I just acknowledge that, and I'm willing to surrender the separation. And the final key is do not judge others. And this is so, so key. This is the last one I'll leave you with. You know, and we're guided to have the focus of our judgment only be on ourselves, never on others. You know, whatever level of spiritual development you're on, or level of interest or desire or commitment you feel you have, ultimately our understanding is limited. We don't have the sight of the Holy Spirit. We are not in a position to judge. You know, whatever troubles a person's going through, whatever inappropriate behavior you think you're seeing, the temptation, of course, is to judge. And we're really advised on the spiritual path not to judge, but to extend love instead. The Course in Miracles is excellent for teaching, see, either love or a call for love. You know, and of course the world may judge you as foolish for not judging something that everyone agrees should be judged. But when we just stick to extending love only, and being willing to feel the pain and let it move through us, and not try to be aloof from the pain or step aside from the suffering, but to move into it and with it and through it, then we move beyond judgment. And we move beyond separation and we connect in love with all of our brothers. Okay, I will leave you with that and wrap it up and move now to the open meditation and contemplation to reflect upon all of these keys we've discussed, and maybe there's one key in particular that resonated with you. Maybe you can sit and contemplate that as I turn the mic back over to Lynn. But I'd like to also give you an opportunity, if you feel so guided to donate, please do so. We do operate off of your donations, so they are important to us and help support what Awakening Together does. So So turning the mic over to you, Lynn, for our contemplation music.
What is this road? What is this journey? And where does time go so slowly? And how can we help but be who we are? And change can end too much. Love may be the end of us, but why should we fear? Because with all the wandering, I'm weightless here in my dreams. What is this someday? What is it really but a tomorrow or today? And frozen in the footsteps untaken, we stand side by side. Love may be the end of us, but why should we fear? Because with all the wandering, I'm weightless here in my dreams.
Beautiful song, Lynn. Thank you. I was just contemplating all of the principles that I was sharing, and they all just seemed to fit together so beautifully in a network, in a tapestry. So I'd love to hear from you now as to what was brought up in you. And I'll just quickly summarize the keys again. One, every day is an opportunity for transformation. Two, hear the voice from above, or inner voice. Three, understand that we are all mirrors. Four, trust the Creator. Five, ask for divine assistance. Six, realize that we are always being tested. 7. Repent with joy. 8. Never be satisfied. 9. Walk like the blind. 10. Use death as motivation. 11. Experience the pain as our own. And number 12, don't judge others. Oh my gosh, you're typing those as I'm... Yep, and then 11 is experience the pain as your own, and 12 is don't judge others. So maybe one of these 12 resonated with you. So I'm going to give up the mic, and I'd love to hear from some of the people that maybe wrote comments or some people that had something come up within them when they were hearing these 12. So giving up the mic.
Thank you so much, Jay, for what a beautiful, beautiful sermon this morning. And the message is so very clear. This is, salvation is not a something that we just go about blindly. There are things to do, and it is watching the mind and being aware of all of these things. And it actually is possible when I stop listening to the voice that is full of suggestions and ideas and plans and desires and all those kind of things. When I really just look at that and recognize that that isn't even really my own voice, then every day I'm transforming over and over. And yes, trusting the Creator, looking at my brother as the mirror, listening to my inner voice, always asking for help, which is something that I don't do enough of. I mean, seriously, I have this attitude of I can do it. I can do it all. So the asking for guidance, asking for help, literally asking for help when I'm in a jam or I'm feeling upset, that's when I think about it. But really, I should be doing that every moment of every day, because that help is here all the time for me. And that's what brings me to being able to do all these things, not judge, live in love, all of that. So thank you, Jay, for a beautiful, beautiful morning, and letting go of the mic.
Well, thank you for that, Lynn. You know, I had a little bit of a judgment as I was looking through all the different books and studies that I've been involved with MPP and throughout my spiritual path. And I was just guided to these 12 steps, and I had a judgment in my mind. Oh, these are too basic. People aren't going to want to hear this stuff. That was the judgment I had in my mind, and I thought, wow, that's really like an ego-based judgment there. This is too big. These everybody knows this stuff. You're preaching to the choir. This is so simple. And then I realized, well, you know what? This might just be exactly what needs to be said right now. And everyone was like saying thank you and was like really loved it. And it's like, you know what? I never want to leave the basics. That's what I thought in my mind was, why do I need anything but the basics? Like, that's where I want to stay. Oh, Robbie said the mic doesn't work. And so I'm glad I didn't listen to that insane voice. And it's interesting that it would judge them as the basics. And, you know, if I never lose sight of the basics, I think that that's the key right there. You know, I think spiritual growth is actually can seem to be complicated, but when you just take a minute and just go back to the basics, it's actually very simple. When you just remind yourself of these basic tenets, these basic keys, which a lot of these can be found in really every major religion, every holy work. I can find all of these in Buddhism. I can find all of these in the Quran. I can definitely find these in the Bible. Of course, Kabbalism, Course in Miracles, they're all over the place. We can really find them everywhere. It's not like these are unique to really just one sect or religion. It may be dances. You want to share something as to that came up with you? Or let's see, who else do we have in here? Robbie's mic is broken. Sharon, I'd love to hear from you if you want to share and what came up for you today. Turn the mic over to you.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Can you hear me? Is my mic working? Yes, thank you. Oh, my God. My heart opened up so wide. And I don't know, the basics to follow are magnificent, but it's really the way you spoke them. It was a flow that was in my heart, and your voice and the way you had just, it was like a beautiful, beautiful song to me. The way you spoke today, Jay, it really had tears in my eyes. My heart's open, and I'm in love. And I just love these basics, but it's so much as the minister that you are. We have a group of ministers that are just awesome ministers in the sanctuary, and I can't wait till Sundays to listen. And I'm telling you, Jay, you're just magnificent. I told you that in writing. So I will absolutely write these down, because the basics are everything and they are the foundation. But more importantly, I want to just say to you that you make a magnificent minister. And I'm so grateful to be part of Awakening Together. Thanks, Jay. And thank you all. I have tears of gratitude. A lot of gratitude.
Hmm. No, I was joining with you in that, Sharon. Thank you. Yeah, I too have felt such gratitude for many inspiring people in my life as well. And I feel the same gratitude you're feeling, because I've had that same gratitude with certain teachers I've had at certain times. I too have had that experience where it was their voice, something, how they were presenting it, or that person that really just touched me and opened my heart. And I think we've all had those people in our lives that we've used to serve us in that way. And that's just such a great affirmation that we're all in each other's lives for such a wonderful reason. And you know, I like to think of us all as just an amazing symphony. I like the analogy of just that beautiful orchestra, that symphony. And I see on the board here, Nikki. Oh, Nikki's going to be there. That's great. That's right. Yep, next week, Nikki Dotson. That's going to be really good to hear Nikki again. Speaking of Nikki, I love her voice. Speaking of voices, I love her voice. Does anyone else want to share anything that came up for them? Nancy, anything with you? Or maybe Sonia? Or... I don't know, Kathy, Jackie, Gloria's in the room. So, giving up the mic for you, Nancy.
Thank you, Jay. I'll just echo what Sharon said, that I felt that too, that you... There was such certainty and kind of this beautiful stability and that came through you this morning. it was quite beautiful to be present for. I had a little experience with this, and I've been having more and more, which is really wonderful. Which is that talks about these principles, you know, being that every day is an opportunity for transformation, to hear the inner voice. I had my evaluation at work a couple of weeks ago, and I did well. My overall score, and in fact every score I had, was called exceeds, which was which was very nice. And they do the compensation not at the same time that you get your review. So I had a couple of weeks in between the evaluation and when I got my compensation. And I do have to tell you that I was busy in my head dreaming of what my raise would be, and even going so far as to calculate it out. Maybe it's 3%, maybe it's 4%. Oh, what shall it be? So finally, when my boss came in to give me my compensation, I had no increase to my base compensation. I did get like a lump sum bonus. But I have to say that I felt disappointed. I felt disappointed. Apparently, I wanted something to be added to my base. I couldn't figure it out. I thought, have you got an exceeds? You know, what are you supposed to do? I just noticed myself watching the thoughts that were going through my head. And they were, I began to see the thoughts and how unfair it was, and that how I was going to be from then on. I was going to not really, I was going to not work very hard. If I wasn't going to get more money, then I definitely heard the thoughts that said, you know, hold yourself back. And if you're justified in withholding, you know. I saw those thoughts, and I also noticed that I was watching those thoughts. And then the next very short time went by, and then the thought came, Nancy. Work like it's $200,000 a year. And I was like, what? What? I was like, work like it's $200,000. And I heard that thought as the inner voice. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's not, my financial guru. But I heard that as that this doesn't mean anything. What means something is how you show up. How you show up. And I even wrote on a little tiny post-it and put it by my computer, just in very tiny writing, I wrote, like, work it like it's $200,000, which is far, far beyond whatever I could hope to, kind of actual salary I could hope to make. But it wasn't. It was just that it was a thought of abundance and support, like you say. It was not about the money. It was about how I was to show up. And I loved that. And immediately, any thought, any grievance thought that I was holding about not being appreciated or anything like that just dissolved. And my joy and my happiness returned, and I feel so privileged is not really the word I'm looking for, but just to radiate, you know, the happiness that I feel inside. That's, you know, worth far more than $200,000, but I like the way that Spirit pointing it out to me. All right, I'll let go of the mic, and thank you again, Jay.
Yeah, thank you for that, Nancy. I was thinking about what you were saying regarding money, and I've been doing some contemplating with the money lately, because I've started my own business, and there's kind of like no more real guarantee of a ongoing income, because it's dependent on me continuing to get clients and do work. So there's a constant element of sort of trust that I have to practice. And, you know, I was blessed to be given more than enough money this month to meet all my needs and obligations, and even be able to put some in savings and pay down some other debts I have. And I do computer database programming is my business. And what I had in my perspective was, I'll give up the mic just 1 second to you, Dan, since I do want to hear from you. The perspective is yes, it's money that I'm spending here to pay the mortgage, but it's not the money is not the source of what's supporting me. You understand that? Do you hear the difference there? Like this is like an atheist would say, "It isn't God helping you; it's me. Look, I'm here, the one helping you, you idiot." That's what the atheist would say, right? They only want to focus on the physical, right? And I mocked. I'm not trying to judge someone that calls himself an atheist. I'm not actually judging that someone that thinks that way. It was just being dramatic. It was just using an example. It's all in your viewpoint of how you choose to look at it. Yes, you will still use the money to pay the mortgage, but you can say to yourself in your head, "It is God that provides and supports me. I am supported by God. I'm supported by the Creator." And it supplants the idea, your idea in your head of money with the idea of the Creator being the support. And it's, for me right now, a really great technique to let go of the money idea and see that the Creator is supporting me, not money. And it fills me with, like you guys talked about, this sort of certainty you heard in my voice. A lot of it's from that kind of practices that I've been doing, is going back to the Creator and realizing it's that that's supporting me. There is my certainty, not in the outer symbol, right? So, giving up the mic to you, Dances. Oops. Oh, no, she's here. Dances is right here. Anybody else want to share? We've got just a few minutes left. Maybe time for one more person who wants to share. I don't know if Igor is still in the room. You know what? I can take a few minutes to review the story of the rabbi and the train. And also, tonight, this is going to be exciting to hear the Scott Killaby satsang tonight. That's going to be awesome. That's 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. The story of the rabbi and the train. It was an insufferably hot day in the Odessa train station. An old rabbi patiently stood on a long queue to buy a ticket for a train trip. As he waited, one of his students happened by. "Where are you going, rabbi?" the student asked. "To Kiev," the rabbi answered. Hoping to save the rabbi from waiting in the heat, the student offered to take the rabbi's place in line while the rabbi took a seat in a much cooler and more hospitable waiting room. The rabbi accepted this kindness with gratitude. When the student, after almost an hour, finally reached the ticket window, he bought a ticket to Kiev and then went looking for his teacher. He handed the ticket to the old man, who thanked him and moved on board the train. The student stopped him. "Excuse me, rabbi, but I paid for the ticket." "Yes," the rabbi replied. "Thank you very much." Thinking that the old man misunderstood his intentions, the student now made it perfectly clear. "Rabbi, as you know, I am very poor. I was hoping that you would reimburse me for the ticket." "But," the rabbi replied, "I don't have any money." The student was shocked. "You were standing in line to buy a ticket to Kiev, and you didn't have any money to buy one?" The rabbi nodded as though this was the most natural thing in the world. "I needed to go to Kiev, but I didn't have any money, so I started standing in line as the action I took. Then, thank God, God sent me you to buy it for me." "But now I don't have any money to buy a ticket," lamented the student, obviously very worried. "Well," said the rabbi, "let me suggest that you get in line." And with that, he turned and moved toward the train. Okay, giving up the mic back to you, Lynn.
Thank you so much. And here's what I'm going to do, Sonia. Beautiful, wonderful morning. Sonia, I'm going to put all that stuff in the posting when I post the gathering tonight. So if I can get a hold of the rabbi story, I'll post that. And, you know, the other reading, I think, yeah, it can go right in the post. And so, yes, thank you all for